In this paper, we discuss how we can support faculty in enhancing student learning and creating a welcoming learning environment in a trauma-sensitive classroom. Refugee learners carry diverse experiences of displacement, having endured a unique trauma as a result of a conflict in their homeland. Since trauma affects students' capacity to learn and develop academic skills, it's even more important to provide tailored support to faculty who teach them. We present here the case study of building a faculty learning community or a community of practice among faculty in the University Weekend and University Preparatory Program for Refugees in Budapest and Berlin in academic year 2020-2021. I will first briefly discuss the context of trauma-informed teaching, introduce the case study of Open Learning Initiative, or OLIVE, and our approach, and conclude with implications for learners, teachers, institutions, as well as academic developers. So what does it mean to be trauma-informed? Being trauma-informed requires recognizing and understanding how trauma influences individuals, and especially in education, designing teaching and learning environments in a way that meets students' needs. This means establishing trust, encouraging collaboration and empowerment, as well as ensuring safety and flexibility in classroom management. The research also shows that trauma is a strong predictor of academic failure. It is connected to low student engagement and poor academic performance. It affects students' capacity to learn and develop academic skills. It affects students' self-regulation skills and makes it harder for students to focus or to maintain attention, to plan, to remember and organize new information, to problem solve or to follow instruction. So since students with traumatic history often feel low esteem, anxiety and lack of control, creating a safe learning environment is crucial for student learning. To achieve this, some trauma-sensitive norms that can be introduced in the classroom include ensuring an orderly physical environment, predictable routines, multiple ways to participate and respond, active supervision, clear norms and expectations, and being prepared to offer additional support to students. Clearly, teachers play a vital role in providing mental health and psychosocial supports to students. They are the ones who identify and respond to students' needs. However, as you can imagine, working with trauma-sensitive classrooms and trauma-affected learners makes the teachers vulnerable to the effects of trauma as well. And keeping the balance between empathy and over-identification is critical. This is why supporting teachers in a trauma-sensitive classroom is crucial. Let me first briefly describe the context of the Open Learning Initiative, or OLIVE. OLIVE started in 2016 at the Central European University in Budapest, following the 2015 refugee crisis. It runs two non-degree programs, OLIVE Weekend Program and OLIVE University Preparatory Program, or OLIVE UP. The Weekend Program is designed for asylum seekers and refugees in Hungary, and it aims to provide access to education, job market training, or English language skills. OLIVE UP is a full-time, one-year, fully funded university preparatory program for people with refugee status in Europe. The aim of the program is to develop and strengthen students' academic skills that are necessary to apply, get accepted, and succeed in a graduate program in English language. Both programs are based on small groups, tutorials, and student-centered teaching. They focus especially on creating an inclusive and welcoming learning environment. And to address the diversity and ensure inclusiveness, teaching methods include careful scaffolding, individualized approach and feedback, as well as tailoring the materials towards students' interests and backgrounds. It also includes diverse learning activities and assignments so the students can demonstrate their learning in various ways. So how did we support OLIVE teachers? We approached supporting teachers by facilitating a community of practice, building on the developmental model suggested by Weston and McAlpin. The model describes faculty growth continuum along three phases. First, growth in own teaching. Second, dialogue with colleagues about teaching and learning. And third, growth in scholarship of teaching. It is worth noting that due to the pandemic, most of the teaching was done online, which was an additional challenge both for teaching and creating and facilitating a community of practice in our case. So following the developmental model, the sharing and development process in OLIVE community of practice included three stages. First, online asynchronous reflection and sharing of practice ahead of synchronous meetings. So here, teachers were invited to share personal reflections, teaching dilemmas, or any effective teaching practices in a simple template. They're invited to reflect on any teaching strategies they were using to address any particular challenge or aim, such as building a friendly class atmosphere or fostering collaboration, how to teach about sensitive topics, or understanding what it means to come prepared to a class or to participate. This would then be followed in a second phase by a synchronous facilitated meeting where we would engage in peer learning through discussion and brainstorming of teaching strategies to address current challenges. Beyond just brainstorming the solutions as a group, these meetings also served as an important introduction to scholarship of teaching and learning. This is where the role of us academic developers was essential. By helping to put dilemmas and teaching practices in the education research context, and by contributing solutions and best practices from the scholarship to either validate or to further improve teaching solutions gained from teachers' personal experiences. And the final stage would be collaboration and growth in scholarship of teaching. So finally, what did we learn? Several important implications emerged from fostering Olive community of practice and had a positive impact on learners and teachers. When it comes to implications for learners, opportunity to have professional conversations about teaching in a sensitive context, especially during the pandemic, enabled teachers to form a more nuanced understanding about their learners' needs and about the teaching context. So group sessions and reflections enable teachers to gather information from each other about their students' learning context and about their specific life situations or challenges. So for example, one of the dilemmas discussed in the session in Olive Weekend program was that many students stopped handing in homework assignments. Throughout discussions, it became clear that many of them lacked a quiet study space at home to focus on learning. They didn't have proper devices, or they had to give up on homework time for caregiving tasks or extra jobs. As a result, many students had to take time from their regular work to prepare for classes, which then impacted the quality of work they handed in. This prompted discussions about redesign of courses to introduce more blended and asynchronous learning formats, as well as to readjust workload to account for the changing context. When it comes to implications for teachers, Olive Community of Practice initiative contributed to the individual development of educators, prompting them to move along the level of complexity in teaching practices, as well as entering into professional discussions with colleagues and engaging with scholarship of teaching and learning. In addition to collegial support, community of practice in Olive Up resulted in cross-course collaboration in order to enhance student learning and the quality of assignments, which was very important for student motivation and self-esteem. So for instance, English language teachers would design shared assignments. In one course where students were practicing verbal skills, they were interviewing each other. This interview was then taken as a basis for practicing writing narratives in a different English language course about English composition. In the same way, English course assignments followed the assignments in students' disciplinary tutorials. So in English courses, students would practice paraphrasing using the literature they need for their final paper in the tutorial. This synergy among assignments and the cross courses was planned and discussed in monthly meetings, but also individually between teachers in related courses. Clearly, this also had impact on student learning, as they had the opportunity to practice their skills from different lenses, and they also had an opportunity to get tailored feedback on their work from different perspectives. When it comes to implications for strengthening the community of practice, the positive experience of community of practice in the weekend program resulted in institutionalizing the process as a regular professional development option for teachers. The core group of teachers who teach in the program for several semesters have the opportunity to capitalize on their previous experience and introduce novice teachers to the specificities of Olive context. And finally, academic development. So academic developers were essential to facilitate the evolution of community building and individual professional development of teachers. While individual reflections on teaching are essential, they would not have necessarily prompted teachers to engage in scholarship of teaching or develop along the complexity of the teaching practices. It is also important to observe that the community of practice model was also effective in an online setting. The combination of synchronous meetings and asynchronous sharing and documentation of practices provided forum for a much needed flexible engagement with colleagues in the community of practice. In conclusion, the discussed approach is not relevant only in trauma-sensitive classroom, but also more broadly for building communities of practice and supporting faculty, especially in a challenging pandemic context, but also beyond.